In Matthew chapter 4, before the Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 4, what happens when you start in Matthew chapter 4? Jesus Christ is baptized and He's taken into the wilderness and tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And literally, Satan himself comes. And there's a threefold temptation. It's after that that you have the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And immediately when you hit Matthew chapter 8 and you go through chapters 10 and move into the ministry of Jesus Christ, that you see Him dealing with devils. Now, I want us to read just very quickly this morning. And by the way, this goes along with last Sunday morning preaching on the doctrine of authority. Because if you don't learn to stay under authority and you rebel against authority and you say, I'm not going to do what the Bible says, you're laying you and your family and everybody that's connected to you, especially your immediate family, under the influence and power of Satan in a dangerous way. And I'm telling you, I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again when we rebel against the authority of the Word of God. And you may go on for 6 months, you may go on for 6 years, but I've seen it in my own life, in the life of others. You mess with that authority thing, and here's the whole deal. What we're moving through this book of Matthew is, Jesus is showing us that if you move out from underneath that authority of Scripture and the teaching of the Word of God and the commands of the Word of God, that you're opening yourself up to satanic power in your life. Doesn't matter if you're saved or not. Now, let me say clearly before I start this morning, I do not believe that a saved person can ever be demon-possessed, because God lives within the life of the body of a saved person. The Holy Ghost doesn't have half your heart and the devil have the other half. God is dwelling with, this becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. But I know, I don't just believe, I know that a Christian many times is under more and more intense and vicious satanic attacks and oppression than they ever were when they were lost. And I want you to know something this morning, that the devil is real. And we're going to look at this morning now in chapter 8, just to give you an idea of it. Go down to verse number 28 of chapter 8, and I'm going to try to cut out, but I'm also going to just stop somewhere along the trail here this morning. We're going to pick this back up tonight. Chapter 8 and verse number 28, Lord, help us to preach today. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Notice that, underline it in your Bible, possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? I've often said that the theologians may not believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but the devils do, and they know it. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They also believe in hell, and they believe in torment in hell, even though a lot of religious people don't. The devils know there's a hell. And it continues on there, and you know the story. Jesus Christ delivered them of those devils, and they ran into the swine, ran down to the sea. You go over into chapter 10, or chapter 9, in verse number 32. Jesus, again now, moving from His ministry and the message in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 to the ministry. You know what He's telling us? Once you've learned the message, get out to the ministry, but you're going to be fighting devils as you go along. In verse 32, and they went out, behold, they brought him a dumb man possessed with the devil. That word dumb there does not mean he's just ignorant intellectually necessarily. He couldn't speak. When we say dumb, we're talking about somebody who couldn't speak. And by the way, the devil did this to him. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never been so seen in Israel. Chapter 10, verse number 1. Look how Jesus equipped his disciples when he went out. And when they went out, he called unto him the 12 disciples, and he gave them power against something. First thing that Jesus gives his disciples and those he sent out to minister is power against unclean spirits. Now, I'm going to stop right there for sake of time, but what I will tell you this, if you read your Bible and the ministry of the Gospels, you'll find out that after Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit or empowered by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temptation, the fast in 40 days, filled with the Spirit, but he came out empowered by the Spirit of God, and he is empowering his people to deal with devils. Now, I'm going to say something real quick. I probably will mess up every once in a while and say the word demons. But I don't like to use that word because that's not the Bible word. The Bible word is devils. Your Bible says devils. And I think there's a particular reason it does, but we're going to look. I just want us to, first of all, say this. There's a lot of subjects in the Bible that a preacher is to preach over the course of the years. I've been preaching here now coming on 30 or 31 years, I don't know, whatever there. And the Bible tells that I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm to preach the Word of God. And I believe this, that I ought to preach the gospel of grace, and that I ought to always try to center things around the cross. And I promise you I'm going to try to do that. But, and the major preeminent subject and thing that ought to be preached from any pulpit is that of Jesus Christ, because He is to be preeminent in all things. I want to make a plain statement here today that Satan is a created being. He wasn't created as Satan, but he's a created being. And he's not all powerful, but he's powerful. And he's real. And I want to tell you this, there is victory over Satan day by day, moment by moment, and year by year. And I'm going to tell you this much. In Christ, we have total and absolute victory over the devil. No matter what you're thinking this morning, no matter what you feel like this morning, that does not negate the powerful victory that Jesus Christ had over death, hell, and the grave in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but we ought to preach Christ as His eternal existence, His holiness, His Godhead, His creation, His incarnation when God became man and dwelt among us. We ought to preach His sinless life. The Bible said He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And the Bible, we ought to preach that He's a sacrifice for our sins, that He died in a substitutionary suffering death for us for our sins. We ought to preach His love and His compassion, that He loved us so much that He gave His life to die in our place. That's the gospel. We ought to preach that redemption and that reconciliation by the blood of Christ. We ought to preach the resurrection. A gospel that doesn't have a resurrection is not the gospel at all. Not only resurrected spiritually, a new man in Jesus Christ, but someday a glorious resurrection, a new body in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to preach His ascension. We ought to preach His high priestly work that He ever lives to make intercession for us. We ought to preach His glorious return for the church. We ought to preach the return with the church and where He rules and reigns for 1,000 years upon this earth. We ought to preach His total conquering of Satan and the casting into the lake of fire of Satan. And then we ought to preach His everlasting kingdom with a new heaven and a new earth. But there are more things in the Bible than that. And if a man's going to preach the whole counsel of God, he's going to have to preach some things he does not enjoy preaching. I don't really enjoy preaching on sin, but I've got to preach on it. But I want to say this, that there are some subjects, and this is one of them I'm preaching on this morning, that without the Bible, you talk about getting messed up in the swamps and the mud of human philosophy. I'm going to preach on the spirit world, specifically Satan and devils. And this subject right here, you can get yourself so messed up so fast because there are so many customs, traditions, myths, all that kind of stuff that have been melded into a culture that if you're not careful, you will conceive Satan not to be what the Bible says him to be, just like you can see Christ not to be what the Bible said. Think about this for just a minute. We're talking about preaching on the spirit world. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When the Bible speaks of you, it speaks of you as a spirit first, a soul second, and a body third. Your spirit is the most important. It's the real person that's there this morning. These bodies are a clay temple that we're living inside today. That's why I'm not preaching necessarily to your soul, your intellect, your emotion. That's why real Bible preaching moves to the spirit. It moves to the heart, to the real person that God is dealing with. When you're converted, when you're born again, the Bible said that you're born again of the Spirit of God. God gives a new birth in the innermost part of who you really are. After you're saved, God begins to deal with your soul. That's what we call that sanctification or the saving of the soul, the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your attitude, the renewing of your motives and conformance to the image of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly and finally, at the resurrection, we will have a new body fashioned like as of the glorious body of Jesus Christ. So our salvation is a threefold salvation. It is a complete salvation of spirit, soul, and body. Now the Spirit is born again. It's an eternal situation. It's born. It's forever. And God wants you to understand that you're dealing. When you came to church today, if you do not worship God in spirit, with your spirit, you're not worshiping in Him at all. If you do not worship Him in truth, you're not worshiping Him at all. If you do not worship Him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not even dreaming about approaching God in true worship. The reason so many people come to church and feel that they're not getting anything out of it and that there's nothing there for them is because they're coming to church worshiping intellectually. And if they hear something that really, man, that's awesome, or that's cool, or that's neat, that there's no substance to that, that God can do anything with your life. And pretty soon, after so many years, you become vain and vanity in your religious experience. Now, Jesus said, no man has seen the Father, but the Son hath revealed Him. Let me tell you something this morning. There is but a heartbeat between you and eternity right now. A heartbeat between you and eternity. There is but a step between you and the spirit world. There is a real spirit world. It is more real than the tangible physical world that you live in. We are veiled in flesh and cannot see, but yet we know there is a God. We know there is a spirit in man. When I look at your eyes and when you're listening to me preach, did you know that you're checking far more out than my eyes and my face and my hands? You are checking and sensing with you by your spirit, my spirit. And the Holy Ghost of God has to witness through our spirits one to another. And the Bible says that we're to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. How do you try a spirit? You test it against the Word of God, which is written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And if it violates the Word of God, it is not of the Spirit of God. Man is first a spirit, then a soul, and finally and least important, a body. Only fools deny the reality of a spirit world. And only greater fools seek to know and experience the spirit world outside of the light and truth of Holy Scripture. Jesus dealt with the spirit world. He entered the earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 4, as I said. He dealt with Satan himself. And you and I are admonished and warned as children of God that we're to be vigilant, that we're to be sober, for our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want to tell you something this morning. There's not a soul sitting in this church. There's not a daddy sitting in this church. There's not a mama, not a marriage, not a young person sitting in this church. You better get something down in your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, that Satan is a real enemy. He is really out to destroy your life one way or the other. We are warned and informed in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and God is not monkeying about that. He said, because of that, you better put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the wicked day, and having done all to stand, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible teaches us it's a real deal. We're warned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that no marvel, don't be shocked, that Satan and his devils can be transformed into angels of light and ministers of righteousness. Are you listening to me? I preach you a message today on Satan and devils. There are three archangels taught in the Scripture. First of all, there's Gabriel. Second of all, there's Michael. Third of all, there's Lucifer. Lucifer is only mentioned one time in the Bible, and the New International Version took that out of the Bible. That tells you where that thing's from. It's out of hell itself. Lucifer was the musical archangel. It is interesting to note, Gabriel is the one who makes the announcements about the birth of Jesus Christ. But Michael, you'll find with the host of the Lord in the Old Testament. And Michael is the one coming. And both of them are associated, all three of them are associated with trumpets. Music. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. At the last trump. And the Bible speaks of this. So you have these three archangels. You have in the Bible three great deliverances. You have the great deliverance in Egypt when God delivered the children of Israel up out of Egypt. You have the great deliverance when Jesus Christ was delivered to the cross for our sins, that you and I might be delivered from Satan and from sin and from this world, from our sins, delivered from our sins. The third great deliverance taught by Scripture is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in power and glory to deliver His church from this evil world. Now, In those three great deliverances in Scripture, there are two things that are common with all three. Number one is the murder of babies, the murder of children. Number two is the increase and intensity in devil and satanic activity, devils, spiritualism, wickedness on this earth. You remember when Moses was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, that the Pharaoh had the babies slaughtered across the land, all the male babies killed. You'll also remember that when Moses threw his rod down, signifying the power of God, it turned into a serpent, that Pharaoh's magicians were able to do the same thing. That is powerful spiritualism, demonic power. You'll also find out that whenever Jesus came to die on the cross, that the Bible said that Herod sent out his armies and they had all the babies 2 years and under. The baby boys slaughtered, just like Pharaoh did. Now, I'm telling you something, listen. And then you find Jesus Christ during that time dealing continuously in the Gospels with people possessed with devils. The third great deliverance is the rapture of the church when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for the church. We have had last year in America, not in the world, but in America, 785,000 babies were aborted in wombs of American mothers. 785,000 women chose to slaughter and dismember their own blood, their own flesh. But I'm telling you, in this nation, we not only have the slaughter of babies as the signs of the third great deliverance, but we also have an increase in intensity in demonic activity that has never been in this country before, never been anywhere since the time of Jesus Christ. There are devils at work in intensity all around us. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this country has become vile. This country is becoming fierce. The Bible said those possessed. This country is full of God haters. This country is becoming full of sodomites. This country is becoming, it's this destruction of the marriage institution, which is at one of the most demonic activities there is. Lying spirits all over this country. In our art, satanic art. In our music, satanic music. In our science, so-called, satanic evolution. The streets are full of murder. People are going crazy. The pedophiles, the bestiality, the witchcraft. Let me say something to some of you drug heads out here. Galatians chapter 5 says that the works of the flesh, one of them is witchcraft. Now, I don't need a Greek Bible, but I want to do tell you what that word witchcraft is. The word in the Greek language, pharmacia. And it's the word in which we get our term pharmacy, which means the dispensation of drugs. You drive up the window, walk up the counter, you give them this, they give you the drugs. What it is, it's the dispensation. This word witchcraft is, by the usage of drugs, you open yourself up to devils to come into your life. Listen to me. You do that through drinking. You drink, you open yourself up to demons. You open yourself up to devils. I'm saying this to you this, that there is immorality on the rise. I'll tell you, there are sensual, sexual, perverted devils out of hell rocking this country with the awful bunch of immorality I've ever dreamed of in my life. Perversion. Just this week, seven sodomites came in the capital of the United States of America, stripped off their clothes naked, and rushed Speaker Boehner's office. I want to know how many saw that in the news. Raise your hand. One, two, three. Now you look around you right here. How many people did not know that? You know why you don't know that? Because the satanic, devil-filled media doesn't want you to know how wicked, how vile those people are. It's documented. They've got pictures of it. Speaker Boehner's office. Let me tell you something. We're at the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah in this country. I'm saying this to you. Up here north of Mountain Grove, a four-year-old boy taken by a satanic, devil-infested drug head took a knife and cut his throat, throwed him in a sewer lagoon, and took pictures of him. That's right up here north of Mountain Grove. I want to tell you something. That's not human depravity. That's Satanism. That's demonic. That's devils. And one of my jobs as your pastor is to keep your family rid of devils out of your home, rid of devils out of your lives. full of this country is full of nakedness. Let me say something to you. When you dress tight slacks and dress tight and all that jazz, I don't care whether it's top or bottom, you're naked. Ask any man in this church, you're naked. I don't care what you've got on. When you're revealing your body in a sensual manner, and I'm, by the way, girls, if you ain't got any more sense than that, you ought to have enough love for God just to believe the Bible about it. I'm telling you, it's satanic. It's devils. You say, well, hey, can I give you a little something? The demons in hell, whenever that man came out of their devils, he didn't have any clothes on. Read it, Mark chapter 5. He wear no clothes. He was crazy. You say, well, I don't go naked. I just go half naked. Well, you're half crazy then. Amen. I'm telling you something. You are monkeying with satanic powers. Anything that makes you want to show your body off to anybody but your husband is satanic. By the way, that goes for guys too. You stupid guys think I want to see your chest? You're nuts. Think I want to see your hairy chest? Walk around with a little necklace on so the girls can look at the buttons you got unbuttoned. Unbuttoned? That's exactly right. And by the way, ain't right for men to wear tight breeches either. Look like you sprayed and glued them on. You say, Reggie, why don't you quit preaching on that? I will when you quit living like that. I'm talking about, listen, I'm not talking about depravity. I'm talking about devils. Right up here, all over this country, I'm telling you what, just slaughter. People slaughtering each other like animals. Suicide, depression, antidepressants. Can I tell you something? Listen to your preacher. I love you. Quit taking those stupid antidepressants. You're opening yourself. That sells on most of the boxes. That's one of the side effects. It's suicide. You say, what should I do? Pray. Fast. Read your Bible. Rejoice. Get to work. Serve people. Thank God. Worship God. Get into church. Sing. Do something, amen, besides sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You say you got troubles? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Anybody you think you really got enough troubles to be constantly in depression? I'm sending you over to Nathan and Nathan and Coco for 6 months. I'm going to let you live in a clay hut. You'll come back happy. There's rebellion in this country against God. Week after week, city after city is having to take down its crosses, take down its signs, take down its symbols. Because nobody will stand in this country. Immigration. We've induced demonic powers in this country through immigration. We have literally soaked in this country. I'm going to tell you, every Islamic person that steps foot on American soil is bringing devils with him. Every Hindu is bringing devils with them. Every Buddhist is bringing devils with them. Every Eastern cult religion is bringing devils with them. I'm going to tell you, if the army of God doesn't raise up and preach the truth, we're going to have no hope. Behind every false religion and behind every little statue, there is a living devil. That statue don't amount to anything. It's just rock or wood. But behind that, there is devils. Our education system. Can I ask you something? Who in the world do you reckon would be behind teaching the American children that God's a liar? Sure, it's the devil. I want to tell you that our public schools have become temples, modern day temples of Baal. Teaching the doctrines of Balaam and sacrificing our children to devils. Who's behind sex education? Exactly. Who is it would want to do that kind of nonsense? Who is it would want to give a young girl or a boy contraceptives and tell him go out and just he'll live like a dog? Runya, you bet the devil. We better start recognizing that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the Department of Education. Where does all the broken homes come from? You think God ever broke up a home? Who's behind that husband who's thinking about leaving his wife? Who's working on him? Who's working on men when we get lustful after other women, when we think about leaving a wife, when we think about leaving our family? Who's working on that woman who's thinking about leaving her husband, leaving her children? Hey, why don't we get honest about it? It's the devil. I'm saying this to you. The doctrine of Satan. First of all, there are scarcely, if not any, cultures in the world that does not have some concept of at least some source of evil. You say, Reggie, how do you know that? Some source of invisible evil power. Witch doctors, shrunken heads, voodoo dolls, totem poles, and Ouija boards. Can I tell you something? If you've got Dungeons and Dragons, Ouija boards, anything like that in your house, burn it this afternoon as quick as you get home before you eat dinner. If you have any movies in your home, such as The Exorcist, or any of that old 60s garbage satanic junk, or any of the modern stuff that I probably don't know anything about, burn it this afternoon. If you have records, music in your home, and it's not godly, it's ungodly. Number one, the existence of Satan. I want to say, first of all, that he is doubted by the world. You see, the world takes the D off a devil and puts another O in the word God. Now it's not persons, it's just an evil, the force. See, let me tell you something. You know what? The Bible said, God said this. Those that come to God must believe that He is. Did you know what Satan wants? He wants you to doubt that He exists. Because you see, if there's a real devil, then the Bible is true, isn't it? Yeah. He is doubted by the world. Let me just say this to you. I want to read you a poem written many years ago. Men don't believe in a devil now as their fathers used to do. They've opened the door of the broadest creeds to let his vileness through. There isn't a print of his cloven foot or a fiery dart from his bow to be found on earth or anywhere, for the world has voted it so. But who is mixing the fatal draught that kills both heart and brain and loads the earth with passing year with 10,000 slain? Who blights the bloom of the land today with the fiery breath of hell? If the devil isn't, or never was, won't somebody please rise and tell? Who dogs the steps of the toiling saint and digs the pit for our feet? Who sows the tares in the field of time when God is sowing pure wheat? But the devil is voted just not to be, of course. The professors say it's true. But who is doing the kind of work that the Bible says the devil's supposed to do? Won't somebody step up to the front right now and immediately begin to show how the frauds and crimes of our day spring up? For surely we want to know. The devil was fairly voted out. And of course the devil's gone. But simple folks like us would like to know who's carrying his business on. His existence is not only doubted by the world, but it is declared by the Bible. The devil is mentioned in 7 Old Testament books. Genesis, 1 Chronicles, Job. He's mentioned 12 times in the book of Job. And if you want to know how to fight the devil and you want to know what's really going on in your life, you better read the book of Job really good. In the book of Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. He is found in 19 of the New Testament books and is written about by every New Testament writer. He is mentioned by our Lord Jesus Christ no less than 15 times personally. Examples are found in Matthew 4:10 where Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan." He wasn't addressing a force or some kind of power. He was addressing a person. You better get this down. In Matthew 16, when Peter was rebuking Jesus for saying he was going to the cross, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. And a lot of people have trouble with that. Jesus was doing nothing more than confirming what the Apostle Paul said when he talked about the fact that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Jesus was not wrestling against Peter. It was Satan working through Peter to try to get Jesus not to go to the cross. And that's something you need to recognize. We need to recognize that when we're dealing with our children. You see, we're not careful. We're mixed up and thinking we just don't want to be so unkind. You better figure out who you're dealing with, Daddy, Mama. That doesn't mean you don't like your children. You're trying to love them and help them when you understand who's working in their life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, the Bible said, "Get over there, depart from me, cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." God says there's a devil, his person. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I beheld," and he said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." We'll talk about that a little later. Jesus said in John 8:4 to those Pharisees, He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." The devil is a person. He really does exist. Jesus said, "One of you, have I not chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil." So we have the Bible teaching us clearly the existence of Satan, the reality of Satan. And I want to deal with a lot of things, and that's why I don't know how many sermons I'll preach on this, but number one, I want to preach on the origin of Satan. Where did he come from? There's two most commonly asked questions by people in the world about Satan. One is, why did God create the devil? And secondly, why doesn't God destroy him? There's a simple answer to these questions. Number one, He did not create the devil. And second of all, He will destroy him. I want you to look in your Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to look at this doctrine of Satan. I want you to learn some things. I want you to be here tonight. I'm going to tell you something. As a pastor, when I see the devil tearing up people's families, tearing up people's lives, wrecking and ruining homes and stuff, that's all I've dealt with the last two or three weeks. All I've dealt with. The wrecking of homes and families. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. And I'm on the warpath. I'll try to do some preventive preaching. Did you know what the average church, if it's having problems, they think, well, it might be the preacher. He's getting old and cold. Or this, that, or that. You know what the real problem is in every church when there's a problem? It's satanic. Satan has come in one way or the other, and until the congregation understands that and deals with it. I heard a story this week. I mean, a preacher got messed up in pornography. Some of the men of the church found out about it. They went to him about it. He didn't deny it, but said he just brushed them off. They finally had to go to the congregation with it. And the congregation got mad at some of the men who took it to the congregation. And the church split. Do you reckon that preacher thought much about when he's sitting there watching that pornography that's going to wind up in a church split? Ezekiel 28, verse number 12. Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyre. Everybody there say amen. Amen. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord of God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect. Now what the king of Tyre there is a typology and a prophetic reference to Satan himself. Thou sealest up the sum, here it is, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. What's this? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. And every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. Woo! Do you realize the stuff that you're messing with that'll get you away from God? That He's covered with? It goes on through. The emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship. Watch this now. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast, here it is, created. Satan was created, I believe, to lead worship in the heavenlies of God. He had built-in tabrets and pipes. That's why music has become such a war place in the church and a war place in the minds and hearts. Let me tell you a little secret. America never did really begin to go take the big fall. She always had her battles. But let me tell you when she really fell was when the Beatles came across the Atlantic Ocean. I remember the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And literally, girls were going into maniac, tearing their clothes off in front of thousands of people. I say, what causes somebody to do something like that? And they brought in the satanic jungle beat. I don't care whether you like this or not. The African jungle beat is straight out of hell. There is a difference in music. And rock and roll was founded upon the African jungle beat that came out of the ghettos of the United States. And Elvis Presley was the one who took it and lifted it into the mainstream. A white boy taking jungle African music, which is always accompanied by voodoo, and took it and put it on the mainstream America. Then, see, he opened up the United States to that, and then the Beatles come on, and there's a verse in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 4 that exactly fits it. It says, the lion is come out of his thicket. And the where's the thicket? The jungles. And the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. And when the Beatles came across, and by the way, did you know when that happened? After we elected the first Catholic president of the United States, when we told God we're throwing off all the freedom and all the truth that our forefathers give us. And God let that stuff come in, and I'm going to tell you something. This country has never been the same since rock and roll hit this country. Let me tell you something. Rock and roll is straight out of the bowels of hell, and I'm going to tell you something that's worse than rock and roll. Are you listening to me? That's contemporary Christian rock music. And there ain't no such animal. Listen what he said there. Thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou was created. What's this? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stone of fire. Have you ever been in pagan countries where they walk on fire and walk on coals? That's from the Bible. That's Satan practice. He said that in the midst of the flame of fire, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Watch it. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee. There's two prophetic verses. The one number one is God, Jesus said, I beheld him at Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's the first part. He cast out of heaven. The I will destroy thee is in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. And it's yet to come in the lake of fire. O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Been looking in the mirror yet late recently and thinking how good looking you are? Better watch that. Can I tell you where that came from? You ought to look in the mirror. And you ought to want to look nice. I'm telling you something. I'm all for everybody being beautiful, okay? But in the right kind of beauty. Now I'm going to tell you something. When your beauty desire is to lift you up with pride and think, man, you are a hot chick and you're going to have all the boys looking at you, you are walking in satanic territory, sister. Amen. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. By brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. And may I say to you, that's exactly what happens to all Satan's followers who follow that same line of stuff. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 14 right now. We've looked at his existence and his origin. We're looking here to what Isaiah said now. Watch this passage of Scripture. How art thou fallen, verse number 12 through 14, Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? And again, I want to tell you, that's the only time Lucifer's mentioned in the Bible, and it's taken out of the NIV version. And it replaces his name with one of the New Testament names of Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable. How art thou cut down to the ground? Watch this. Which didst weaken the nations. Can I tell you something? America has been weakened by Satan. He has weakened this nation. And I'm telling you, we're about gone. For thou hast said, by the way, we are gone in the sense of freedom and peace and tranquility and safety that we once had. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the sides of the mountain, the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five I wills in there. Satan wanted to be God. He wanted God's place. He wanted God's power. He was going to take over. You better thank God. Jesus said, I'll beheld Satan as lightning. God cast him out of heaven. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. We need to understand the personality of Satan, not only his existence and his origin, but we need to understand the personality of Satan. Somebody tell me what time it is. Five till. Number one, he is a real person, as I said a while ago. There are celestial bodies. That's taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you see all these here, E.T. and all these movies, I'm going to tell you something. They are manufactured and made by demonically controlled people who know what they're looking at. Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell some of you parents something. You're letting your kids play some of these little stupid games. Just take this here a little bit with a grain of salt, but I'm going to tell you something. There's something in my spirit that's troubling me. When we take Bible characters such as Daniel, Moses, Abraham, and these men of God, and we turn them into cartoon characters, I don't like it. There's something wrong with that. When you lower the Holy Word of God and the real life into a cartoon character, there's something in my spirit says that's wrong, And somebody may be doing that innocently, but I don't. There's something in my soul that says, Reggie, that ain't right. You're lowering the power of that message and the power of that life and the power of that message to a cartoon. They may sell a lot of them. That ain't going to stand. I don't believe in the day of judgment. He is a real person. Secondly, he possesses intelligence. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we're not ignorant of his devices. He got a lot of ways to get at you. The Bible said that he beguiled Eve through his subtlety. He's got devices. And by the way, if we think that we can get by and Eve was deceived by him, God help us. He possesses memory. He can quote Scripture, and he did quote it to Jesus Christ. He will be bold. He'll quote you Scripture to make you think God is lying to you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 said, He knoweth that he hath but a short time. He does have intelligence, he possesses memory, and he has a will. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This country is full of people that's been taken captive by the devil. They can't stop what they're doing. Captive. I'm going to tell you, the only thing that ever free you from the bondage is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about wholesale, no monkey business, fall out all out for God, cry out to God for deliverance. I'm going to tell you something. If I was here in this church today and I was held but captive in any area of my life, I'd hit this altar today, and I don't care if it ran everybody out of this church house, I'd cry out to God for deliverance from that, because that's the only thing that's going to get you is the blood of the Lamb of God. He possesses emotion. He desires. Luke 22:31, Satan hath desired to have you, Jesus told Peter. He has pride. 1 Timothy 3:6. He said, I will be like the Most High in Ezekiel and Isaiah. He has wrath. The Bible said he knows his time is short. And he's coming down to the earth, the Bible said, because he hath great wrath. He knows his time is short, Revelation 12. He has great organizational ability. Principalities. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 4:1 that there are doctrines of devils. Houston was dealing with, and what we're dealing with continuously, is doctrines of devils that are coming at the church trying to poison the Word of God. There are synagogues of Satan. There are meeting places of Satan. Just because it says church does not mean that Satan doesn't run that place. I'm going to show you something here this morning. Some of you ain't going to like this. I can't help it. An article came out in the newspaper here just recently with a full-page deal about the Grand Master of Freemasonry here in Missouri. I'm going to tell you what, they've got the sweetest little picture. This guy up there with his little satanic apron on, all of his little decorations on. And the whole thing's all about the history of it and what a wonderful place it is and how our founding fathers were all Masons and blah, blah, blah. It goes on. And it says that you have to believe in a supreme being. Oh, really? You have to believe in a supreme being whom they call, and some, the great architect. The person is encouraged, but however, the person is encouraged to find his own questions to life's philosophical questions. In other words, don't go with the Bible. Seek out your own philosophical answers to life's questions. The discussion of politics and religion is strictly forbidden. But we're trying to make good men better. Full of false doctrine, anti-biblical, anti-Christ doctrine. What's this? This guy here, Dave, he believes Masonry's acceptance offers hope for world peace. Now let me show you. He's going to get further with this. He tells of a recent initiation of a Muslim man into the lodge. The initiation was done by a Christian member and was given a lecture by a Jewish Mason. Now listen to me good. It is not what they told you in here. It's what they did not tell you. Amen. Do you remember a while ago that I told you at the start of this message that up here north of town there was a 4-year-old boy whose throat was slit and thrown into a sewer lagoon? Y'all remember that? Yeah. Did you know that one of the oaths that you'll take as a Mason is if you ever tell any of their secrets to anybody, that you agree to have your throat cut from ear to ear and cast and your tongue torn out by the roots, and to be cast into the deepest part of the sea. Did you know that that man who killed that 4-year-old boy was doing nothing more than what a Mason says he vows to do to anybody that tells the secrets of the Masonic Lodge? Well, this won't make you a popular preacher. And by the way, this is the main reason I'm not called to preach in revivals across this country.
Yes.
Let me tell you something I know for an absolute fact. Where Masons are in control in churches, there's no Spirit of God and nobody's saved and nothing done for Jesus Christ. It turns into a country club. They do not tell you in this article. I'm talking about devils at work in our country. They do not tell you that they will lead you blind into your initiation with a blindfold over you, led by another Mason on each side. And they'll tell you, we're going to pray. Let's kneel down. And so you kneel down. And when they take the blindfold off of you, you are sitting before the worshipful master. A man in a big chair. You are committing absolute idolatry. Every person ought to renounce it. I went through the first degree and I have renounced it before Almighty God. I have asked God to cleanse me by the blood of the Lamb. And I wouldn't have the power of nothing if I had not done that. By the way, they won't get me. They won't come after me public. They hit me up privately. They don't like the tracts in this church. They don't like the preaching of this church. They're against this church. Can I tell you something? They're working against this church everywhere all across this country and working against me individually with their little secret handshakes and their little discussions. You cannot mention the name of Jesus Christ in the lodge. Amen. I want to tell you something. There's a judgment day coming. Real soon. This is just one little deal. Oh, some of you didn't mind me preaching on that. But let me tell you something. Our denominations have become cages of every foul spirits. People are worshiping their denominations rather than worshiping the Christ of the Bible. I've had people say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm a blankety blank and I'll be a blankety blank till I die. It was Satan who led the first rebellion against God. Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. I'm going to move on to Revelation 7:9. He'll lead the last rebellion against God. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I'm going to back up a minute. You know why I did that? I did that to show you. Let me tell you something. This goes all over the country. A full dress, full page deal. I'm going to tell you something. Never in my life have I ever saw them put a preacher on this thing and say, this guy's preaching and they're trying to win souls to Jesus Christ. They're trying to lead people to repentance and build strong families and have people live godly and have people do right. They wouldn't put that in there for love or money. You couldn't buy a big enough act if it is. If you tried to buy that, they wouldn't let you sell it. They wouldn't sell it to you. I'm trying to show you how the devil's at work in this country. That's just a little light thing compared to a lot of it. I love you people. I appreciate you saying that. And I know you do. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. All that's going to count when you stand before the great day of judgment is this old book. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, He'll be ashamed of you. I don't care what your profession is today. If you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, the Bible said He will be ashamed of you in the day of judgment. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm as ornery and mean, and boy, I mean, there is flesh in me and the ability to have rebellion in me like you can't imagine. But I'm going to tell you something. I made up my mind one day. I looked at this scripture. I looked at this book. I listened to the Spirit of God. You know what I made up my mind? That Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And He is the one before whom I'm going to stand on the day of judgment. And because of that, I am submitting myself to Jesus Christ and His Lordship over my life. You know what some of you's problem out there is today? You want a Savior, but you don't want a Lord. I'm going to tell you a little something. You cannot have it both ways. He is both Lord and Savior. And the problem you've got is you've never made Him Lord. But He is Lord, whether you make Him or not. He is not just your Savior. He is both Lord and Savior. You know what that means? If He's your Lord, that's why He said, my commandment's not grievous. When he tells you to do something, you bucking up all the time, and I'll tell you what, listen, there's something wrong. You're trying to take half the deal. Paul warns Job. I got to stop. But I want to just say this to you. Some of you might not happen to be able to come back tonight. In the book of Job, about half my week, you know what it's spent in? It's just praying for as I work. Pray to a few people that God will keep you from the devil's destruction. I just finished the book of Job, reading it again this week, and man, when I think about that, it puts the fear of God in me. And on a certain day, the devil, Satan, came before the Lord, accusing. And the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a perfect man, just, upright." You know what? Listen to me. You know what? Boy, I'm telling you, the Lord's been working on this old boy inside. Brother Don Zinn, I've never in my life had God to search my motives out like he's searching out right now. But here's what he done. He said, Job doesn't serve you because you're God, because he loves you. He serves you because you're blessing him. This is a big one now. And the devil said, "God, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll mess his life up and quit blessing him, he will, watch this, curse you to your face." Job, that old boy you think so good, that old boy serving you down there and telling everybody about God and being an influence for everybody, you take the blessings away from him and watch and see if he don't curse you to your face. And the Lord let him do it. And I looked at my Bible and I said, "God, why did you let him do that?" And then I read the next chapter and Job, I finished out that chapter, Job saying, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this did not Job sin with his lips. I fell on my face and said, "God, I'm not even close to being there. Lord, something goes wrong in our house. Something goes wrong in my life. I'm whining and complaining and griping and worrying. Don't pay to serve God, I guess." I told one of my sons this week, we've got a bad theology. I have preached, and I didn't mean to, but I have preached and I have lived out a theology that's wrong in Scripture. And that is that we're going to be blessed materially if we serve God in this world. That is wrong. That is wrong. We're blessed if we're saved. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. You don't find the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's prosperity. In the New Testament, it's persecution. And the second time, you know, he took his kids, took everything. And the second time, he comes back to him again. And he said, still, and the Satan did the same thing again. He said, You hit him. You allow me to hit him. And again, he said this, he will curse you to your face. And I meditated on it. I thought, boy, that is so powerful. That's what's really going on. Whenever you've had a trial this week, when you've had a problem this week, the challenges that are going on in your life, the dreams that you've prayed for, the things that you haven't seen answered, the heartache, the trouble. Let me tell you something. And all the challenges are, by the way, basically what God is saying, I will pull that hedge that I have around back. And I will let you at him. And I want to tell you something, because we are not robots. And we have the ability to love, not love. We have the ability to choose. And let me tell you something. I don't want that woman feeling like she has to love me. I want her to love me from her heart. I don't want her getting up every day of her life and going into the kitchen and saying, "I just do this because I have to." I don't want to get up and go out and do the work that I do because I have to. I want to do it because I love God and I love my family and I love Karen. And I want to be a blessing to him. And did you know our relationship to our Heavenly Father? And it's only through affliction that we learn why we're serving God. I'm going to quit. I'll pick it back up tonight. But I just want to tell you something. I've got a picture of a demon. Some of you have seen it before. I'm going to show it tonight on the wall up here. A literal devil. I'll show him to you. And I'm telling you, they're real. And I'm telling you something. I've been pastoring here a long time. It's been nothing but the grace of God and the prayers of God's people that Brother Terry kept me from getting knocked out. I look back and I look at it and I say, it's nothing but the grace of God and the prayers of God's people that has kept me in the race. I don't care who it is in the world. I would not want anybody to ever go through some of the satanic spiritual attacks that I've had. And I want to tell you men something, and I don't know about you ladies, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't want you to think that it's a strange thing for you to get spiritually attacked, because it's not. And there may come points and times in your life when there are fiery darts of the wicked coming at your mind and coming at your heart and from so many different angles in life. It just puts you into a realm of confusion. You don't even know where you're at. You don't know why. You can't figure it out. And I'm telling you, we're in a spiritual warfare, and I love you people, and I'm going to say this, but oh, I like to smile and hit him. Amen. We are more than overcomers through him that loved us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I'm going to tell you this much I have figured out, Brother Adams. When God lets me hit the mud hole, when I have done the worst, if I'll just respond to God with humility and say, God, I wasn't nothing when you found me and I'm nothing today. Please help me get out of this mess. Did you know I find out that I know God better than I ever knew him before? And I find out some of my motives just weren't really right. And God is purifying my life. And the Bible said that we'll come out as gold on the other side. And he'll purify us with fire. And the Bible says the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, I want to preach, but we've got to go home. I know your brain can't take no more than your backside can handle, can it, Brother Jim? I love you. Let's stand together. Let's sing.